Amen. Thank you, Melissa. Great job on the piano this morning. Take your Bibles and look at our text of Colossians chapter 2, the book of Colossians chapter 2, and just a couple of verses of scripture that I want to get you to look at with me this morning. And if you're able to stand, I'm going to invite you to stand with me one more time, please. Colossians chapter 2, as we read verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul writes, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Father, we again thank you for this time that we've been able to celebrate together. Lord, our freedoms through song, and as the choir reminded us of, Lord, the reason why we're able to even gather to worship in a place like this today. We thank you, Lord, for America. We thank you for your many blessings upon it in these past years. And we do pray for this great country, dear God, that you would, Lord, give us the strength to go ahead and Lord, continue to carry on as you would have us to do, but in a manner that, Lord, will cause us to be grateful and thankful for the many blessings you've given us. May God, you help us to look to you for direction as we've done in the past. Lord, I pray that you would bless as we, as a local church, as God's people, Lord, set the example that we need to set to help turn this country around for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your strength and encouragement you give to all of us by being here today. And if there is one lost in our midst, we pray that gospel message will be able to penetrate that heart as you've done with many of us in this room today. They'll be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been reminded, as I've said through message and song today, about, again, some of the reasons why we are able to carry this flag and wave it. You know, there are a lot of people today that want to remove even the American flag out of our country. And sadly, that is the case, and God forbid that that ever happen. But I realize today it's not about the flag. It's a symbol, I realize. But yet we know that the flag symbolizes our freedom. It symbolizes the fact that there are people who shed their blood that we can know freedom in the way that we know it today. And I'm thankful for those who have served in our military and have given their life. But yet, as you know, this great country is faced with things today that maybe in your lifetime and mine, I thought that we would never see. We knew that there are things that we've been warned about that could come about, but yet we were hoping that maybe that would be the next generation to deal with that. But you know what? I realize that with God's people, there are things that God has placed before us that we're not to fear of what man may do or what may come down the pike our way, but we're to lean on the Almighty God that we serve. How do we do that? Well, based on what we find Paul saying in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 and 7, he gives us, I think, a remedy on how we're going to survive as a nation. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm preaching doom and gloom, because I don't believe that we've gotten to the point yet that God's finished with us. I don't believe that. Now, I do believe that like any nation that has turned their back on God, there's always a price, a heavy price to be paid. And America's not excluded from that, by the way. I know we've been spoiled to the fact that, well, we're Americans. You know, things that happened in other countries don't happen here. I heard the other day, you know, of the small percentage of Christians years ago that used to be in China. And I was encouraged when I heard this, and I wished I would have wrote down the statistic and told you, able to share this with you. But 10, 20 years ago, there was a small number of Christians in China. They've been persecuted, and the gospel has been shut out of that country. But in the last, say, 10 years or so, the gospel has been able to be infiltrated then. And hundreds and thousands of Chinese have come to know Christ as Savior. Now, China is not the country that, like America, but yet what is bringing that country at least back on its feet somewhat as far as Christians is the gospel. The gospel. And you see, what will obviously keep America safe and what will keep America strong is that God's people will proclaim the gospel. And what we find here, if we're going to survive, I'll give you a few things to think on this morning as a nation. Look what Paul said again, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. That is, just live your life daily in the Lord. Being rooted and built up in Him, and established. The word established there simply means to be established in the faith as you have been taught beyond, or taught abounding, that is overflowing therein with thanksgiving, or in other words, gratitude. Give you some things to think on. First of all, if we're going to survive as a nation, we have to learn to live in the union with Christ, is what Paul is saying here. Live in union with Christ, meaning that we have to first become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I ask how many of you have become one in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that you would know what I mean by that. That would simply means that you have received Christ as Savior. To become one in the Lord Jesus Christ, it has to start by knowing the Lord personally as your Lord and Savior. And that's really what Paul is advocating here in this text. We become one with Christ when we're saved. And thank God many in this room have made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Miss Mosley shared some exciting news about her grandchild this past week, or was riding in the car. And they were going, where were they going? Going to pick up pizza. And was listening to the radio, and something on the radio was being said that got the son's attention. Benjamin, was it a preacher, I guess it was, or someone? Song, okay? A gospel song, a message to it. It got Benjamin's attention. And Benjamin said that he wanted to know how to be saved. And so Benjamin accepted Christ as Savior in that car, going to get pizza. You know what? I shared with Miss Mosley. Now, Benjamin, one day when he grows up, he's going to have a story to tell, isn't he? About how he came to know Jesus as Savior. Some of us may have been saved in some unusual places or some unusual situations. But thank God he's in the saving business. And thank God that he has parents and grandparents who have raised him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to where at that point in time where he realized he needed Jesus, he invited his Lord Jesus in his heart to be saved. In other words, at the moment that Benjamin became saved, he was one with Christ. You know, we need to learn to live in union with Christ. Next, we're to walk in Him. As we learn to live in union with Christ, we have to learn to not only be one in Christ, but we have to learn to walk in Christ. Walk is the believer's daily conduct. Look back in verse 6. As you therefore receive Christ, Jesus the Lord. What's the next two words? So what? Walk in Him. That is, what is your conduct? What is your daily conduct? Now, we know maybe sometimes what our daily activities are, but now that we are in union with Christ, we are encouraged to walk in Christ the Lord. Look in Colossians. Go back a page or two in your Bible to chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul says here, that ye might walk. That is, so that you might walk, how? Worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So if you're walking in this manner with the Lord, it means to please Him in all respects. Your spiritual growth should be a big part of that, right? That as you walk in conduct with the Lord, that your spiritual growth should be that I want to strive to grow deeper in the Lord, meaning deeper in love with God, right? That ought to be part of our spiritual walk. And then grow deeper in knowing God and knowing God's Word, to memorize it, to hide it in my heart. Some of you have been taught that as a young person. To walk with God means obedience. Being obedient to God daily. To walk with God means to have a strong doctrinal foundation, which is so needed today, right? To walk with God is expanding our faith in the Lord and having a greater love with God. All of that is entailed within that word walk. It's our conduct. It's what motivates us. And so that's what Paul is saying here, that we're to walk in Him. Look in chapter 4 of Colossians and verse 5. What does it say in chapter 4 and verse 5? Paul says, walk in wisdom. Again, that's a part of our conduct of life. As we are believers in the Lord, we need wisdom. Now, by the way, wisdom, as Proverbs says, only comes from God. No man can give you wisdom. You're not able to learn that in college. They're not able to teach you wisdom. Now, you can learn from others, but yet true wisdom only comes from God. And only a child of God can have the wisdom of God. Thank God for that. Now, I know a lot of people that are lost, that are very smart and very wise. But the kind of wisdom that Paul is talking about here in our conduct is the wisdom that only God can give. I mean, we have a lot of knowledge. As a lost person, has a lot of knowledge. But really what we want as Christians, we want the wisdom of God. That's what Paul is saying. Walk in wisdom, the wisdom of God. Walk in wisdom toward them that are what? Without. That's speaking of the non-believers. Redeeming the time. The word redeeming is just making the most of the opportunity that God gives us. Now, I realize that I'm getting older. You're getting older. Time is flying by. You know, as we get older, especially now that I'm thinking more about life and time, I'm thinking, man, days just seem to be shorter now. And time just seems to be flying by. And man, that's what he's talking about. Redeem the time. Make the most use of the opportunity that God gives us. Because there's going to be a time where, listen, you're hearing it in the news. It's out there. Listen, there may be a time where this gospel message, like we know it, may be hindered from going forth. Oh, listen, we've got to stand in union with Christ. You see, as believers, we're called to live our lives as such that we establish credibility of the Christian faith and make the most of every evangelistic opportunity God gives us. There are people that God brings in our path every day that do not know the Lord Jesus. In other words, they don't have a relationship with God like you have. Now, granted, many of us in this room are thankful. If you're saved, you're thankful that you're going to go to heaven. But you know what? We have family members that don't know Jesus. We have people we work with, that we love, they're friends, people we associate with. Do you realize that, listen, if these people, family members or friends that we associate with, if somebody does not tell them about Jesus, and you may be that somebody, they may slip off one day into a devil's hell. You know, when God revives a nation is revived through the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that sounds simple. That sounds like, well, that's going to take more than that, preacher. Oh, listen, persecution has been around for years, hundreds of years. You have to go back to studying the Bible really to appreciate even what we're faced with today. We're faced with nothing compared to what the early church went through. Nothing. And the things that we're hearing about today is shouldn't be taking place in a country that has known the freedoms that we have known, but yet we know that where sin abounds, then evil is going to abound. We need to learn, though, as believers, not to throw in the towel, not to fear, but we need to learn to walk in conduct. Why? Because there are other people that are looking at our lives that need Christ. To walk in Christ is to live a life pattern after His. You see, our nation can survive if we share that gospel message. But we have to learn to live in union with Christ. The second point I want you to make note of is verse 7 points out that our roots, we need to keep our roots deep in Christ. We need to keep our roots deep in Christ. Look at verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in who? In Him, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've learned this recently. I planted a tree in my yard, and it's a big old tree. I mean, I bought a big one. I didn't know that it was going to be this big, though, when I bought it. I really didn't. They came and delivered the tree to plant it in my yard, and because the other one I had was dead. You'd had to see what I'm talking about. It was dead. And then when they drove up to plant this tree in my yard, I'm thinking, man, how do you take care of something like that? And so anyway, they dug the hole and they put the tree in the ground. And it's one of these autumn maple trees, I guess it is. They put it in the ground. And they told me how to take care of it. Water it, but don't give it too much water. Well, they don't tell me anything. Especially in Alabama. I mean, how can you get too much water in Alabama? But anyway, I'm hoping it's going to survive. But I do know this. I'm educated enough to know this. That a tree has to have roots to survive. And for that tree to survive, the roots draw life from the soil. So that means that the soil needs to be fairly good, right? And then also the roots that tree that puts off give stability to the tree. And I learned that actually the next day. I had to call the people back out to fix my tree because there was a rainstorm that came in the day they planted. And the next day I go out there and that tree's just leaning. Now they had even tied it off and gave it some stability. But you see, the reason why it was leaning is because the roots had not protruded out and the roots had not given it the stability that it needs because it was newly planted. And you see, it's been in the ground now long enough. I'm hoping that now a few roots have started spreading out and it's starting to grab hold of the soil. And you see, the roots will give it the stability it needs as a tree. And you know, I got to thinking about that thinking about our nation. You know, our nation will only be strong spiritually if God's children, God's people remain strong. Now, if you listen to the news enough time, you'll find that you can walk away real discouraged. I mean, all week they've been talking about, how this ISIS group is going to have, 4th of July is just going to, we're going to have a bad day. I mean, the news media is building it up. And thank God I hadn't heard anything. Maybe something did happen. But, I mean, talking about terrorists everywhere and just kind of getting people all in uproar. Listen, we're in those days where that's never going to leave us. We know that. But yet God's people have to learn not to live in fear but lean upon God. And what's going to keep this nation rooted in the right foundation is God's people have to have a deep root in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another reason why we must be rooted deeply and firmly in Christ. Look back, if you would, to our text. Our text means to keep the word rooted and built up in Him and established. The word established means to be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding, overflowing therein with thanksgiving or gratitude. This text means to keep our roots in Him. It means to remain established in the faith. We don't lose our salvation, but you know what? We have a tendency as believers to waver in our faith, don't we? When the going's tough, or maybe whenever things are not going our way, and things are not going the way that we'd like as Christians in our nation. And you know what? The devil would like for us to live a state of a discouragement, because you know what? bad things are happening in our country, so we might as well give up. No, listen, again, as I said last week, thank God I've read the end of the book. I know who wins, and I'm thankful I'm on the victor's side. But you know what? There's a tendency for our faith to waver. Oh, listen, Paul says to be established in the faith. Be established in knowing what you believe. To be established in the faith is have that doctrinal foundation laid to where you know what you believe. Do you believe that you're going to heaven when you die? Listen, that's been established in the faith. If that's not settled, then listen, that's an important thing to get settled today, right? Because none of us know the hour, the day that we may be called out of here. And we need to be established in the faith. Spiritual maturity develops upward from a biblical foundation. That tree that's rooted and grounded in the ground, where does it get its strength from? From beneath that foundation, listen, that's been laid, and as it begins to mature and that develop roots and that stability, it moves upward, and all of a sudden you start seeing the fruits of your labor. The trees begin to develop. I'll know this time next year, I guess my tree survived, right? Because hopefully it's going to have some green leaves on it. Where does that go? It starts at the bottom, works up. And the idea, church, we need to have a foundation laid. We'll say more about that in a moment. But doctrinal foundation is important. As I said a few weeks ago, I'm Baptist by choice, not because Baptists are the only denomination who can get to heaven. By the way, there'll be no denominations in heaven. This Baptist thing is going to be thrown out the door. Now, I'm proud to be a Baptist. Don't get me wrong. I'm Baptist to the core. But I'm not one of those Baptists that believe just because I'm Baptist, that's going to get me to heaven. Because it's not. Only Jesus is going to get me to heaven. Only Jesus. And you see, I need to make sure, though, that if I'm going to go find a good gospel preaching church, which I hope you found one here, but if you move off and you find one, listen, you may not find a Baptist church somewhere up north because they're hard to find. But you want to make sure, though, you find one that is built on a strong doctrinal foundation. In other words, that's built on this book, the Word of God. Some doctrinal beliefs that are strong, that don't waver. Listen, we've gotten away, and that's what's happening in our country. We're getting away from the doctrinal foundations of this book. We're putting more faith in man than we are God. I heard Brother Bob say in his Sunday school class, it used to be, if the Bible said it, that's all that mattered. And that's true. But yet we've gotten away from that attitude of life in America. Then a third thing real quickly. If we're going to survive as a nation, we need to build our life on Christ. Go back to verse 7. You see, as we build this nation, as we build our life, obviously it needs to be on Christ. But you see, even a nation needs to have a solid foundation. Would you agree with that? I've been looking back this week, and being 4th of July, I've watched a couple of programs on television that's talking about the foundational the foundations that were laid for our country and our forefathers who really, especially up in Boston and the American Revolutionary War that took place there, and those who went before us to so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have. Listen, and the principles that this great nation is built on is what you heard sung this morning in our choir. You know, a nation that has stood for 239 years. Why has America stood so long? Because we're still just compared to other nations. We're very young. And we're still learning as we go. But yet I heard one person yesterday or this week being interviewed, and he says, listen, he was from Australia, and he says, I'm not from this country, but I'm praying that America will stay strong, because if America stays strong, that means the rest of the world will be strong. And that's true statement. Look how far we've come in 239 years. Now, 239 sounds like a long time, but it's not. I mean, I'm 53 years old, and man, that sounds like a long time, and it's really not. I mean, I don't want to go too far in age, but listen, there's still some folks that live in this country that are still, they're 100 years old. There's a few left. I think the oldest is, what, 113 or something like that I read? Well, listen, they've almost been here almost half the time. A nation cannot stand, though, without a solid foundation. Right and wrong ways to build have been laid out in Scripture. Look in Matthew real quickly, Matthew chapter 7. Jesus gives the parable of how to build the right foundation and how to build the wrong foundation in Matthew chapter 7. And for those of you that are parents, that's what we're doing, right? We're trying to build the right foundation, and God has said, here's the way to do it. Now, if you want to follow God's plan, it'll work. God says it'll work. But it's not going to come easy. Building a nation the way God says do it, it'll work. But it's not going to make you popular. Matter of fact, you'll be ridiculed. You'll be made fun of as we're hearing today. But building the right foundation, it'll work. And some of you as parents, you've been trying to build on that foundation for years. Maybe your kids haven't turned out the way you'd like for them to turn out. But listen, I'm a firm believer that if you've built that foundation, those kids may stray off, and there's a time where that may happen, but they'll know where to come back. Why? Because of the foundation that's been laid. Look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine, Jesus says, and doeth them, that is, acts on them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, that is, it fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a what? A rock. It was founded on the right foundation. We're going to have storms come our way. We're going to have tribulations, and we're going to have trials of life. But if you're building your life, mom and dad, and your family upon the right foundation, yeah, there are going to be financial issues, and there are going to be temptations to go with this crowd or that crowd or whatever. But listen, keep the foundation strong. Keep that faith strong, that foundational faith strong. Doctrine. Because you know what? You hear so many false teachings today. Which way do I go? Go God's way. The Bible way. Not man's way. That's the right foundation, Jesus says in verse 24 and 25. It'll stand. Verse 26 now tells us the wrong foundation. Young people, listen. It says, everyone that heareth these things of mine, or sayings of mine, and doeth them what? Not. That is, if you don't act upon what God says, then he said, you shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, that is, it fell. And the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, that is, it slammed against it. And it what? It fell. And great was the fall of it. Oh, listen, America, it'd do us good, yes, to get back to listening to what God says on how to build the right foundation. If we'll just do it God's way, it'll stand. If we build our homes God's way, it'll stand. I'm not talking about the physical home. I'm talking about this body, that our life. You know, if we build our lives and walk in the ways of the Lord and do the things that God would have us to do, listen, that'll stand. May not make you popular. You may not get a lot of friends that way, but yet it'll stand. In the end, you want it to stand when the storms come, the trials come. Build our life on the right foundation. You see, if our lives need a solid foundation, it does. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, and I'm paraphrasing, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, he has to be the rock. You want to build a little foundation. You can go borrow money and you can try to get enough money to get you by in life and eat, drink, and be merry. Man, I got a little tempted the other day. I'll be honest. You ever get that way when it comes to things? I was filling up gas the other day, and I saw this guy next to me. He had these two jet skis. I've never been on a jet ski. Never in my life been on one. And why the devil would try to tempt me with this? But anyway, I saw he pulled up next to me, and man, he was filling his jet skis up. I assume he was going to the lake or the beach or whatever. And he pulled off, and I looked at him, and I'm thinking, man, I'd love to get one of those. A little bit later, I got to thinking, why would I want one of them? I could act foolish for a little bit, and then, no, I'm not saying if you have one that you're foolish, but for me, it probably would be. I'd kill myself probably on that. But I'd have fun at doing it, right? Oh, listen. So often we try to build the foundation on materialistic things. And it's good when you can be able to buy things that are right. But you know what? Jesus is the main foundation. He is the foundation. That's what 1 Corinthians 3:11 says. I like our hymn. It says, on Christ a solid rock I stand. What? All other what? Ground is what? Seeking sand. Then number four, write this down. How can we survive as a nation? That we need to become stronger in faith. Look back in verse 7. Faith is something that's important. I've alluded to it a little bit ago. He says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the what? In the faith as you have been what? Taught. As you've been taught. You know, faith means having really, in this verse, it means having confidence in God. And by the way, our confidence as a nation should be in God. How often do you think? Always. Our confidence should be in God always. It's easy to trust when things go well. And you know what? I've seen that happen. You've seen it happen as a nation. When things are going well, we don't need God. I mean, that's sometimes the mentality. And sometimes it's the other way. It's easy to trust God, trust when things go well. In life, things don't always go well though, right? And there'll be times, and I'm not preaching doom, but I do believe that we may be in our country headed to some troublesome times. I honestly believe that's the case. Not because I'm a prophetic preacher that I know the future, but the Bible has already laid it out very clear. I'd like to believe that we're the generation that gets to hear the trumpet sound. But yet, if not, we know that there are troublesome times ahead when you turn your back on God. How do we survive? Well, we survive by knowing that faith is our strength. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the Word of God. Faith is our strength, our faith and trust in God. You heard this past week, Greece. How many of you have been listening to the news about Greece? How would you like to go to the ATM machine today and try to get $20 out for lunch? And say, sorry, the government's got your money. Folks, those poor people in Greece, we need to pray for them. Because there's some good Christian people in Greece. Not just that, there's some good people in Greece that need Jesus. They work hard, some of them. And yet they've been standing in line, and I think they've only been allocated so much money a day, and then some over the weekend were told they weren't going to get anything, and now they're wondering how they're going to be fed, how they're going to eat. Oh, that never happened in America. Really? Oh, listen, it could. Then we have to ask, who do we look to? Because, you know, we realize, hey, if I'm putting my trust in the ATM machine, listen, I'm not going to get too far. What's going to get me through life then, preacher? Well, I trust that it'll be your faith. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm a firm believer that if we have our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're a child of God. If God's promised, He'll take care of that little sparrow. Oh, listen, God will take care of you. But you know what? We're in the world. We're not to be of the world. But we have to, like the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, have to look to God for our manna. Oh, listen, we need to become stronger in our faith, not weaker. if we're going to survive. And then lastly, Paul says we need to be filled with gratitude or thanksgiving. That is, be filled with thanksgiving or gratitude. Verse 7. By the way, this is not referring to outward expression. This gratitude that we're talking about here, this thanksgiving, refers to that inward condition of the heart. If truly we're grateful people, it's going to be within and it's going to come out, right? That's what real gratitude is. This will naturally produce the outward expression, but the inward must precede the outward. And I really believe that if we're going to be survive as a nation, if we're going to survive, we have to be thankful from within. Let that come out. You see, but who has to be the example of that? Believers do. Because we know who is our provider. We know that the one who takes care of us. Yes, things may get bad. It may sometimes seem doom and gloom, but thank God we have someone we can look up to give us that strength to carry on. And you know what? That's the example that we need to set before a world that needs Christ. I heard this verse given this morning. I'm going to share it with you in closing. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. I love this passage because it's a reminder of what God's people should do when, as a nation. But notice the words of this verse. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if you want to turn there, that's fine. But it says, if my people, how many of you are God's people today? Raise your hand. You know the Lord is your Savior. Amen. I'm glad you could do that. That's who God's talking about. He's not talking about the lost person. He's talking about my people, the children of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves. That's the key word. My people have to look to God in humility and realize, hey, God is our is the one who is our provider. If my people, humility, shall humble themselves and do what? We've been talking about this on Wednesday night, and pray. And pray. Prayer is the key to obviously getting answers, right? We want our prayers answered. Well, we want things from God, or we pray for others. Well, prayer is the key. Well, we need to be praying for our nation, don't we? Humble ourselves and pray. Pray for America. You know, sometimes my attitude's been here recently a little bit. Oh, why pray about it? Well, we need to. I caught myself thinking that way a little bit. Listen, prayer is, there's power in prayer. And we need to pray for America every day and teach our kids to pray for this great country because it's still a great country. And then he says, humble yourself and pray. And then he says, seek my face all at the same time. All of these things are being done at the same time. And seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There are some Christians who have chosen rather to follow God. It's just easier to go with the world. I mean, just do what the world does. The old adage is eat, drink, and be merry. Do the things of the world. Listen, we have such a short time, preacher. I'm just going to enjoy life. Well, God wants us to enjoy life, but God is not advocating that we ought to go out here and sin by doing it. Because there's a way I found out as a Christian. I realize I can have a lot of fun without sinning, but I'm going to be tempted to sin because of that sin nature. We need to set the example as God's people. And I honestly believe the reason why, listen to me, I believe the reason why this country is in the shape it's in, it's not because of lost people out there. It's because of God's people turning their back on God. I believe that. Obama would have never made it in office because there's enough Christians, if they would have stood and did right, could have kept him from going into office. Why is our country turning the way direction it is? Because God's people need to humble themselves and pray and seek God's face. We're not doing that yet. May God help us to survive as a nation by humbling ourselves, pray and seek God's face, and turn from the wicked ways. And it starts in the local New Testament church. And you know what? I just have to believe as I look out and I see these young faces of these kids. It's left up to us to make sure that they have a better world to live in than what we've seen the last 10 years. But it's going to take some sacrifice on our part. It's going to take some humility. It's going to take some prayer. And it's got to start in the local churches. May God help us to do that. Would you stand with me?